August 17, 2001. In Judge Kenton Harlow's courtroom, there was no longer any expectation of drama. The vast gallery of onlookers was gone, and the press contingent had dwindled to the standard retinue. Arthur had not slept well. He was at a loss about exactly where Rami's case was headed. With Muriel's letter about Collins, he might prop the coffin lid open for some time to come, and he even had flights of fantasy that Collins could somehow establish Rami's innocence. Yet lately, for whatever reason, Arthur had become concerned for his future. Sooner or later, this was all going to end. Life would be life again, not an adventure. With Carol Keeney and a determined step, Muriel arrived in the courtroom. She was dressed in a sleek pantsuit, looking as always like a lean cat ready for a fight. She deposited her files on one of the counsel tables, then strolled across the courtroom and plopped down beside Arthur on the front bench where he and several other lawyers here on motions awaited the commencement of court. "So," she said, "how big is that top hat of yours? Any more rabbits left in there? I'm hoping this one is enough." "This is really clever, Arthur. I grant you that." Arthur had eked one more extension from the Court of Appeals, this time for his motion to reconsider the order terminating Rami's case, so he could investigate the matters about Collins that Muriel had disclosed in her letter. The next move, plotted with Gillian, was far more unorthodox. Under Rule 11 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, Arthur had asked Judge Harlow to sanction the Kendall County Prosecuting Attorney's Office for failing to disclose what Collins had told Larry in Atlanta. Essentially, Arthur claimed that Muriel's response months ago to Arthur's motion to grant Collins immunity had been functionally false. As punishment, he wanted Judge Harlow to order Muriel to immunize Collins and allow Arthur to take his deposition. "The Court of Appeals will see right through this, Arthur. Smart as this is, it's hopeless in the long run." "I don't think it's hopeless, Muriel. I think Judge Harlow may feel you were hiding material information."
"I wasn't hiding anything, Arthur. You got the information as soon as it appeared remotely relevant to anything. What else is there, Muriel, that you've decided isn't remotely relevant?"
"Arthur, I told you and the judge in my response that you have everything conceivably favorable to your client, except Collins' testimony. You really think the courts are going to let you keep Collins in the closet while you execute Rami?"
"Collins is a sideshow, Arthur. There's nothing that connects him to these murders. You've been very good at creating sideshows. That's your job. I give you credit. I'll tell you another sideshow that interests me."
"What's that?"
"A little birdie says he sees a lot of Gillian Sullivan around your office over there. And holding hands at the matchbook."
"What's that about?"
"Inquiring minds want to know." With the question, Muriel bestowed a lurid little smile. That one set him back several steps, just as Muriel had intended. As Gillian had long predicted, Arthur was not entirely comfortable with the malicious sniggering that the wildfire news about their relationship seemed to have been evoking these days. Arthur was eager to end the conversation. Muriel could see that and stood again. Several weeks ago, Arthur had taken the precaution of advising Rami in writing that Gillian and he had become close personal friends. But Muriel's point was not about propriety so much as vulnerability. She'd crossed the courtroom to warn him. If he went in for mudslinging with high-profile assaults on her professionalism because she'd concealed the information about Collins, she had dirt on him of her own to hurl back. "All rise." Harlow strode briskly up to the bench, various papers in his arms.
"I thought I'd seen the last of you folks. Welcome back."
He called on Muriel first to respond to Arthur's motions. She was vehement.
"First," said Muriel, "the Court of Appeals has said that there is not a case pending. Second, Mr. Raven is no longer Gandalf's lawyer. Third, the limited discovery period that the court authorized concluded more than a month ago. And fourth, there were no misrepresentations of any kind in any statement we have ever made to Your Honor."
"With all deference to my friends out there who are the eyes and ears of the public," Harlow said, I think there are some things best addressed back in chambers. Why don't the lawyers join me there?
The judge ushered them through his outer office into Lincoln Land, as the judge's chambers were often called outside his presence. There were at least 50 portraits and figures of Lincoln at all stages of his life on the walls and shelves. The bottom line with the judge turned out to be exactly what Arthur had said to Muriel in the courtroom. Kenton Harlow was not going to allow Rami Gandolf to be executed without hearing Colin's story. The fact that Farwell's testimony might, incidentally, show up the Court of Appeals for putting an early close to the case was, without doubt, no small incentive to Harlow. But he was giving Muriel few options. With the press looking on eagerly, she could magnanimously immunize Collins, extolling her dedication to the truth, or she could fence with a far shorter stick against a federal judge who might send her off on her election campaign, officially branded a liar.
"Why don't we all think about it?" said Harlow.
He summoned his minute clerk and dictated a brief order, stating that Arthur's motion was entered and continued, and then sent them on their way.